Hey guys, before we get started, I have a little secret for you. Come here. Did you know that we are on YouTube? That is right. You can watch these interviews live, uncut, by going to youtube.com/HeatherParady. That is P-A-R-A-D-Y. I promise you, it's another level watching these on YouTube. So again, find us over there by searching for Heather Parody or Unconventional Leaders. And make sure you hit that subscribe button.
The things that you fear, it's so fake. It's more that you put this big vision on and you think you got to be up here, but you just take baby steps and just take, you know, start taking the steps to do it.
I've always felt immense fear.
I was born with cerebral palsy.
I have always felt small.
I was told not to take risks.
I may be blind, but I teach people how to see.
And I'm proud to be an individual.
This podcast is for you, the unconventional leader.
Maybe you are the one that everyone discounted.
Maybe you struggle with fear and self-doubt. We are here to empower the next generation of self-starters to step up.
Use their voice
and make an impact in this world.
Vulnerability is not winning or losing. It's having the courage to show up and be seen when we have no control over the outcome. Vulnerability is not weakness. It is our greatest measure of courage. That is Brené Brown, and my name is Heather Parody. If this is your first time listening, what is up? This show is for unconventional leaders, those who are stepping up, using their voice, and making an impact in this world in their own unique way. So today we're talking about vulnerability. Vulnerability. Now, when you think of being vulnerable, you might be thinking weakness or wimpy or noodly. I don't know if noodly is a word, but I always think like this wiggly little noodle. But actually, vulnerability is a strength, y'all. And as we're leading, as we're out in the world creating our art and our work, how we want to move and go about in this world, vulnerability is a big piece of that if we care about making an impact. Now, listen. Listen, I have on the show today my acting teacher. Many of you know that I have recently pursued acting. I don't know why. I just think it's really fun. I think it's creative. I think it's a cool outlet. And it's just been really awesome to be a part of a community of artists and learn new things. And so Kelly is actually my teacher out in Atlanta. I've been talking on the show quite a bit about the experience, so this is so cool to have her on. But Kelly also has a really cool story of how she has used acting to make a difference in this world, help kids build confidence, help insecure actors and actresses embrace discomfort and own what makes them quirky. And I want to tell you something, y'all. Listen, you might be like, oh, I don't care about acting. I don't care about none of that stuff. This episode isn't for me. I want you to rethink that, because part of the reason I love this venture so much is I feel like there's so much overlap in the arts and real life. It's insane. When I'm in acting class, I often feel like I'm at church. I'm like sitting there jotting notes down and stuff because of the conversation around what makes you a good actor really involves a lot of inward strength and being willing to go there and be uncomfortable and let yourself be known. So I really want to challenge you that as you're listening to this episode, I don't want you to take it at face value. I really want you to hear the implications of what Kelly is saying about what it means to perform and how that can translate into our businesses and our nonprofits or our other creative work. Today, we dig into why we should get comfortable with being vulnerable, why nerves help performance, why we should accept our quirkiness, which you know I love that, and also creating our own opportunities. But before we get started, I want to give a big shout out to our review of the week. This is someone who has taken the time out of their day to leave us her honest thoughts about the show, and that means the absolute world to me. This comes from Coach Eloise from Canada. It says, insightful and thought-provoking. Great podcast. Heather is an intentional listener with great insight, and her podcast brings great value to all leaders. That means the absolute world to me that you would take the time to leave that review. So thank you so much. And hey, if you've been listening for some time, if you have not had a chance yet to go and leave us an honest review in the Apple podcasting app or iTunes, I'd really appreciate if you take a second and do that. I'll definitely give you a shout out on the show. And last thing I promise y'all, listen. You're listening to this episode and there's someone who crosses your mind who has been really struggling with wanting to be more vulnerable and step out into what they're called to do, but they're afraid to be seen, to be fully known. If there is someone in your life who you've had that conversation with recently, if you would take a screenshot of this and send it to them over text or DM, I know what Kelly has to share today is going to impact their lives. So thank you so much for supporting in that way. All right, that is it. I promise you, and I told you it would be it. That's all. That's all. Let's get into this conversation with Kelly Young Silva. Hey guys, we are connecting with Kelly Young Silva for the, well, I was going to say for the very first time, but y'all, I see her every single week. And you've heard about, I've been talking on the show about how I've started this new venture over the past few months of
acting classes.
Well, this is my teacher. This is my acting teacher. I've already talked about you before on the show. I don't know if you know that or not, so that's a little creepy, but acting is so new to me, and you've been so gracious to, you work with everything from beginners to pros to everything in between. Honestly, you've given your whole life to this industry, have built your own business, have your own studio, you're an actress yourself, you're all over the place, you're doing all the things, so we're going to have a lot to talk about in 30 minutes. Thanks for joining us, Kelly.
Well, good, good. And let me tell you guys, Heather, she nailed it. Was it just yesterday?
I have no idea what today is.
Wednesday. She nailed it in class. Like, the whole class. Did you see how the reaction on every, because you guys were there. I mean, you were really in the moment and all the elements were there. It felt so good.
So I'm not editing that part of the podcast out. We're definitely keeping that part in right there. You know, what's been interesting to me, and I want to talk about your story and your business and what you've created. But one thing I've talked about on the show before is it's interesting that whether it's acting or, you know, I've done Toastmasters or this podcast or personal development, all the things, you know, when you get to the core and to the root of it, a lot of it is just getting really comfortable with who you are and being very vulnerable. And I didn't realize how much vulnerability was in acting. And then that just translates over into regular life. So I feel like, you know, some of the things that you teach, I'm like, this isn't just acting. This is like life lesson type stuff. Before we kind of dive into your story, with that vulnerability piece and showing up, because leaders listen to this podcast, and that's so hard because a lot of us have our guards up and stuff. What role has vulnerability played in your career? How do we get better at being more vulnerable? How do we get better at being seen, more comfortable with ourselves? I know that's a heavy question, but help
me. I don't think that any true actor works outside of vulnerability. It's all about, you know, you're trying to find the truth of somebody else's story. And to be able to do that, you have to really empathize. I mean, to be able to play just even a horrible character, you're still trying to lend yourself to find something that is vulnerable with that character and what led him to be the way that he is. And a lot of times it all stems from abuse as a child. You know, they've just somehow endowed their abuse over to someone else. So if you're going to play that role, you have to really empathize with that horrible person and lend your life and your understanding to that person. And that's not easy to do.
No,
it's not easy. And so I think everything in life that is beautiful comes from vulnerability.
There's my quote for the podcast. That's so good. What got you started in acting? Have you always been an actress, like even since you were a kid?
Yeah, mainly, you know, doing school shows and things like that. When I got into high school, I was never a scholar in school. I didn't find out until my early 30s that I was dyslexic. So I had a really hard time. If we were reading out loud in school, I would, you know, say I was sick and go to the bathroom because I was not going to read out loud. And in my 30s, I actually was an office manager for a psychologist. And she said, you know, I think you're dyslexic. And sure enough,
wow.
It's just when I was growing up, people didn't really focus on, you know, so I just learned coping skills. And one of the things that I learned to do was memorize. Like, even when I was younger with spelling words, I wouldn't know how to say them, but I would memorize how to spell them. And so when it was said out loud, I would say, okay, that starts with this, I know this is, and I would literally just memorize letters and not know how to sound them out until the teacher called it out. And then I would just, you know, that helped me with acting because memorization was so easy for me because I used it as a coping skill. So in high school, I did a few shows. I worked with a lady named Miss Hansard, and she was our drama teacher. And I probably learned more from her than I've ever learned. She was hard. And we went to state every year. But unfortunately, I didn't have the grades to keep. There were years that I couldn't participate because of my grade. And so then I got involved in Cobb Children's Theater, which we performed at the Civic Center, and they were even bigger shows than would have happened in my high school. And so I learned a great deal from there. Somewhere near my senior year in high school, I developed a horrible stage fright.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I think that's the reason I work with people so well.
Yeah,
because I really understand what that is, and it can happen to you at any point.
Yes.
And it took me I took about 5 years where I wouldn't even get on stage.
Really?
It would make me so nervous. Wow. And it would freak me out so bad. Then I finally just had to tell myself that to get over it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'd let myself go to auditions and just shake and you know, be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, you know, you learn how to work that into your, you learn how to work it into your performance. And it can actually, the only place that you really can't work, you know, your nerves, if you're playing the villain's always, and still you probably can. Still, mm-hmm. you can, but anyway, I just learned how to work that into my characters. And I find that if people learn how to work that into their characters, it adds an intensity that is not there for people who don't have some sort of, you know, and then it took me a while to figure out it's because I cared. I was scared because I cared. Mm. I was scared because it's what I wanted to do.
That's a good reframe. If you're scared, it means you care. That's a good reframe.
Yeah.
But what got you into starting this studio and working with other actors and actresses?
So I was vice president of Douglasville Community Theater for about 13 years. And that was pretty cool because that's where I learned how to put on shows. It's where I learned how to direct. I call that my playground. At the time of the film industry here in Atlanta, I just wanted to, I was going through some personal things on my own. Mm-hmm. And I felt like it stemmed from my childhood. And I was like, you know, if somebody just would have told me some key principles, I would be further along in my life.
Yeah.
And so I started working with kids, and it was really to use acting to help them in their lives, to use acting as a tool to help them in their lives, to build confidence too. And what I found was a lot of kids that I still work with, they're kids that probably could have been bullied. They were probably awkward and weird. And you just teach them to accept their quirkiness. Mm-hmm. And how great it is and how wonderful it is. And those kids have grown up to be so confident, and it's, you know, it's rewarding. It's, mm-hmm. as a teacher, it's rewarding to see people even accomplish things on a small level that they might not have had they not been in certain places.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was going to ask about, just kind of like the personal development side of things. Cause I think it's really, I mean, we could use the symbolism of, quote, getting on stage and doing what you're afraid of. I mean, across the board with a lot of different things. And what you said is that you kept showing up and kept auditioning and kind of worked yourself out of that fear. And I'm sure you've seen that over and over and over again with all the entertainers that you work with, of just kind of this pushing past fear. You know, those listening to this show, we may not be in this industry, but there's something we're facing that we're afraid of, and that we're, you know, resisting, quote, getting on that stage. Like, how do we push past all the awkward, all of the terrible, all of the weeks and months, and maybe even years of discomfort to get to where we want to be when it's so debilitating?
You know, I think the word is showing up. So I made a commitment to myself probably around 10 years ago, and it was just to show up. It was just to show up to places. And my schedule was so tight. I did so much community work and, you know, in Atlanta and in my own community. And I would just sign up for any and everything. And through showing up, people get to know you. And through showing up, you get comfortable with people. And through showing up, people learn to trust you because simply you're showing up. Mm-hmm. And through that, then you end up becoming people give you opportunities. And then before you know it, you're guiding people because you showed up.
That's it.
Yeah. There's so many things in like the city that I got involved with. It was just showing up to everything. And before I knew it, then they were asking me to do workshops and, mm-hmm. and things like that. So
yeah, if you could speak to that a little bit, just like the initiative piece to it, because you know, one thing, since I'm so new, y'all have no idea. I'm like 3 months into this whole entertainment world, but one thing that is transferable across the entrepreneurial space and this space of entertainment is I keep hearing the same thing of like, you know, step out and make your own stuff and don't wait on permission. Don't wait on other people. Don't, you know, create your own opportunities and lean into that. Cause I think a lot of times we're looking for somebody to come in and save us and give us opportunity and give us chances. And you preach this a lot in class of like, step up and be your own boss and like take ownership of yourself.
Yeah, because when you're an actor, I think that's what people don't understand. And I say this with everything that you do. Think of it as being your own business. Because as an actor, you do have to become a business. You have to invest into your business. But I go and I have a friend that teaches dental students, and she always has me out for a speaker to be a speaker at the end of her graduations. And even in that, when you show up, you know, every day to work, think about that being your own business and what you want, you know, what you want to give. Because if you can figure out how to really be a part of somebody else's business, think about how much better you're going to be when you are owning your own business.
That's good. That's fairly good. And another thing I wanted to talk about as far as like initiative and creating your own stuff is the reason I found you was because you, with everything you have going on, decided to also create your own show, your own internet show. And you've been interviewing a variety of people in the entertainment industry, from writers to like set production to actresses.
And I'm going to have you on.
Yeah. I mean, like everybody, like, tell me a little bit about that process. Cause you already have a very full schedule. You have a lot, you have a family. But here you are and you're like, I'm going to start a show on Facebook.
So I'm married to a director, and cinematographer. So that helps. But I've been saying for a long time that I wanted a talk show. And for me, I feel like that anything that you want, you have to give to. You asked me the reason that I started my business in the first place. It was to give to my community. The arts were very low in my community, and I wanted to open a training facility. And it was before most of the acting studios had opened in Atlanta. So I wasn't doing it to get into the industry, though. You know, at this point, we've booked some pretty major things. It was because the arts were so underappreciated in my area. And then when I started my business, I realized that most people just really didn't understand what it took to be an artist, what it takes to break out. I mean, they think that they're still found at the mall, and somebody comes up to them and they pay for all of their stuff, and you know, then they become the Justin Biebers of the world, or, right. You know, it can work like that. You can get discovered on YouTube, but you still have put into that channel. I mean, your podcast, think about how much you've put into your podcast. Mm-hmm. So you have to have something that somebody can link onto and see your work. So the show was basically to help people understand artists and that we do work.
Yeah.
We're not just dreamers. We work, and we work really hard, and we bust through barriers. And even if we're busting through small barriers, they're still, you know, we're still busting through them.
Mm-hmm.
It should be respected.
Yeah. 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 What are some of those like things that a lot of us would overlook and be like, oh, that's not important, that's too minute, that's whatever, that separates like high achievers, those who are successful in this business, and those who don't? Like, what are the things that most people aren't willing to do that these guys do?
You know, if I went through my story and told you the state that I was in when I started my studio and what I did to do that, you wouldn't want to do it. You would not want to do it. Most people are not willing to sacrifice what it takes. So I will give you a little bit of a backstory with that, since I brought it up. So I went through a horrible divorce, no child support, no, I mean, just the worst of the worst. I was working as an office manager. And I had lost my job. At that time, you know, I was really having a crisis in my life as far as like, what do I want to do? I'm gonna spend my life working for somebody else, not really giving to the world, not leaving my mark. Yeah. And that was eating me. It was killing me. And so the neighborhood that I grew up in, I ended up having to move back in with my parents. I mean, just broken.
Yeah.
That was like the worst thing to me is, you know, I failed. I ended up, my very best friend, her dad had a stroke, and I ended up taking care of him for 2 years as rent money.
Wow.
Because
wow.
I could not afford the rent on my studio and afford rent for me and my kids. I lived with him for 2 years and took care of him. And then my neighbor next to him, she ended up needing somebody to take. So another 3 years, I lived with her in her basement. No kitchen. Wow. Me and my kids didn't have a kitchen or anything to cook in. You know, we lived in one room. Yeah. And I lived like that for another 2 years. Yeah. It was 5 years before my business even started making money.
Wow.
So it's just keeping, and not only that, showing up to everything that I could show up to. I didn't have money for marketing. So I would figure out ways, like if somebody was having a summer camp, I would come out and do a free thing for them just to pass out flyers, just mm-hmm. to get flyers in people's hands. I would leave flyers at my kid's school, you know, any and everywhere. Just figuring out ways without money, how to get your name out and how to get people to know you. And Facebook is, for me, was I figured out very early before even people started advertising on Facebook that Facebook was a good place and a free place that you could,
yep,
you know, you could at least get out to your community. And then, you know, you stick a couple of dollars on an ad and yeah. So I think sacrifice, I think, you know, if you really want something, what are you willing to do to really have it? I knew that I was going to put my family in a bad place for a little while, but I knew I could do it and I knew what I wanted and I knew eventually we would be in a better place.
How do you not lose heart during that though? Because I know as a mom that had to be so hard and like you're doing this alone and like how do you not lose heart?
So hard. And I do. I mean, I have regrets on certain things, you know.
Who doesn't? Where
you know, my kids were going, my oldest was going through his teenage years and I had always been right there with him. He's an artist also, but right there with him with everything, making decisions. And then all of a sudden I'm tuned into my own thing and building my own business. And I wasn't having, you know, just thinking that I had given him enough direction and I had not. You know, he ended up taking going on a course of his own that I knew wasn't good for him, but you can't stop it. You're like in between, you know, and you're just praying the whole time. You're just like, you know, please, you know, let us get through. And at the end, we've gotten through. He straightened his life back up and got back on the right path. And you never really have a right direction or a wrong direction. You're just going and you just have to keep faith that I think two different people are called for different things. Like for me, I felt like I was called to do what I'm doing. And I felt like it was never going to let me go until I did it. You know what I'm saying? Like
I do.
I literally had to decide, you know, all these things that everybody tells us that matters and they do matter. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not that they don't matter. They do matter, but you also have been called to do something in your life. And if you've been called to do it and you know it's upon you, you got to have faith that it's going to show up and it's not going to be easy and everything's going to fall apart and you're going to be down on the, I would lay in bed and Heather, there was not even a light in my tunnel. You know you want me to do this. Why don't you help me? Looking back, all those things that I went through, I needed to go through because it was all a lesson and a lesson in what I was going to end up having to give you guys.
Yeah, that is so true. That is so true. What's your vision from here?
My husband and I are starting a feature film that we're working on, start shooting in March. And that's really scary. I don't know if I'm allowed to really say this, but he will be quitting his job to do this feature film. And that's a leap. He makes really good money. He actually just told me yesterday that he'll be quitting to do this feature film. And that's another thing. People don't realize the risk that you take when you... So I love the idea of getting more into producing.
Mm.
I've produced some, you know, short films and things like that, but to really get into producing, I like that. I like putting pieces of the puzzle together. You know, my studio has been a big part of connecting to a lot of elements within the industry.
Yeah.
So that, and I just love coaching. I love coaching more than I, at this point, love acting. I love watching when you guys get it. And I love watching when you trust. You're trusting me.
Mm-hmm.
and that's, you know, what more in life could you ask for than the trust of your, you know, and to know that in my heart that's so valuable.
Yeah. Yeah. What's your favorite teaching moment? Is there one story that sticks out in your head?
I have a few, and actually they don't have to do with anybody that's booked roles in my studio. It's always moments like this. I had a little girl she was considered a selective mute, which meant she just didn't talk. And her brother had taken classes with me for about 2 years, and she wanted to take classes. And her mom came to me and said, Emma wants to take classes. And I was like, okay, she's got to be able to talk. Mm-hmm. And she said, she knows. And she said, and she doesn't know how she's going to do it first, but she's asking that you don't tell anybody that she has these problems. And she's saying that, you know, she'll do it. And I said, well, I'll tell you this. I said, I will give her opportunities every class. And I said, I'm not going to push her and I'm not going to make her, but I will give her opportunities. And I said, we'll just see how it goes. So every class I would say, Emma, do you want to participate? Do you want to join in? And she'd shake her head no. And I'd say, okay. I wouldn't put pressure on her. I wouldn't make her feel bad. And it took about 3 months. And she finally said yes. And she started participating. And at the end of that year, she was one of my lead actors.
Wow. What do you think switched inside of her with that?
I think she wanted it.
Wanted it.
And that's what pushes you past the fear, is you want it worse than you fear it.
Mm. God, that's so good. I have one final question for you, but before we get to that, I just want to give you an opportunity to share where people can connect. We have people listening all over the world, so I mean, they may not be able to come to Atlanta and like, you know, take classes from you, but really want to encourage people to check out your show. I've mentioned it on this podcast before that what I loved about your show was that it wasn't just the educational piece. It was that you brought in so much of that kind of deep-hearted, like, life stuff that you can learn from no matter what industry you're in. So people can check that out. Where else can people find you?
That's on Facebook. It's Kelly Talk Show. You just search Kelly Talk Show, and you just kind of have to go through and find, you know, which segment kind of interests you. We've had like the two little girls from The Walking Dead. Oh my gosh, they're so cute. I'm on Facebook, Words in Motion Acting Studio, and on Instagram, Words in Motion Acting Studio. And that's it. I just have, and then Kellyanne Silva, as far as I'm a little full on my friends list. I've already hit 5,000. So it's crazy. So you have to either like the talk show page or the, or Words in Motion, but the Words in Motion page, it keeps you updated about, you know, what we're doing. I post industry things on there. And it's interesting if you live in a market where the industry is, how much the industry does bring income to your environment. And how many, you know, you got to think if filming is happening in your community, they're using your vendors to buy things from.
Yep, that's true. That's a good point. All right. That will be all linked in the show notes. And if you are in the Atlanta area or not, if you're in Georgia and you're interested in taking classes, highly recommend it. It's phenomenal.
Yeah. And I do Skypes too. So if there's anybody outside of Georgia that I just got finished, actually, before I got jumped on with you, I was just doing a
coaching.
Thank you. with a girl from Florida.
Very cool. Yeah. Awesome. All that will be linked in the show notes. Very last question. Let's say we were to go back in time to Kelly when she was in school and she was learning and she probably had this vision for her life, what it was going to look like, and had no idea everything that was going to unfold. Probably didn't know about the studio and all the things that you sacrificed and went through and the ups and the downs and everything in between. If you were to go and sit with her for a moment before she embarked on this journey and tell her one thing that you understand now that she did not understand back then, what would that be?
Is to do it sooner. I think that's something that we all tell ourselves is,
yeah,
you know, the things that you fear, it's so fake. It's more that you put this big vision on and you think you got to be up here, but you just take baby steps and just take you know, start taking the steps to do it. Guys, let me tell you this. Heather drives all the way from Augusta to Villarica, which is a 3-hour, it's probably more than 3 hours.
Three-hour
drive classes every single week. It's a 2-hour class, and then she drives all the way home. That in itself shows the kind of drive that is the difference, because if you have people that are in your own community, they won't, you know, they won't make the sacrifices. That's a sacrifice, and it's going to pay off. What you put into your life is going to come back to you.
That's right.
It's a principle. What you invest in is going to come back to you in some way and in some place.
Yep. That's so good. Kelly, you're so busy. It was such an honor connecting with you. Thanks for taking a little bit of time out of your day to join us.
Thank you, Heather.
Big, big thank you to Kelly for coming on today's episode. Again, you can check her out over on Facebook at Words in Motion Acting and Performance Classes, and also WMAtlantaActingClasses.com. And remember, if you got any value from this episode, please take a moment, send a screenshot to a friend or family member who would get a lot of value from this conversation around vulnerability. All right, my friends, I love you. I'm in your corner, and I'll see you in the next episode.